I invite you to join me in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, as we continue in our series in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. As you're turning there, let me mention we had a great week this past week. We had students at music camp, some children and youth, both groups attending the music camp. We had a big group that went to student life camp, and great experiences were had. A lot of decisions were made. And we celebrate that today. Thank you for your support, generosity, your prayers for all those in the room. We had a number of chaperones that went. Some chaperones doubled as extra teenagers, like Stanley Fiveash, if you know him. He was on the trip. He was kind of an extra teenager. Deborah went to supervise Stanley, so it all worked out. But it was a great trip. So thank you to all who helped with that. Also tonight, let me emphasize at 5 o'clock, be here, a very important gathering. We're going to meet in the fellowship hall, and we're going to have a guest speaker, Brian Seagraves. He's a Christian apologist. That doesn't mean he apologizes for being a Christian. It speaks of someone who offers defense of the faith. So he's going to give a lot of arguments for the worldview we hold to, a biblical worldview. And I think it'll be very engaging and insightful for you, especially as a parent of kids, if you're a grandparent perhaps. A lot swirling around in culture right now about gender identity. A lot of confusion, a lot of conversation about that. What is the Christian worldview? How do we interact with a culture that's departing from our worldview? Well, he's going to hit some of those topics tonight and others. So be here for that at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. We'll have childcare for birth through sixth grade. If you have a middle schooler, you can make the choice. I don't think it'll be too heavy of a topic and something your kids probably need to hear and be a part of it. So catch that at 5. We're going to have an ice cream fellowship afterward. Pretty heavy topic, so we'll wrap it up with some good ice cream, okay? So be here tonight at 5 o'clock. And then, I know we have missed it this week, but to encourage you about next week, if you're not involved in a life group, get plugged in. Find a group to belong to. That is so important in your Christian journey. You need brothers and sisters in Christ to help you grow in your faith, people that you connect with and share community with, walk through life together, and you can find that in a life group. So visit around, find the group that's the best fit for you, and be a part, and that'll really help you feel like you belong and you're assimilated into the life of our church. All right, Mark chapter 1, we're going to pick up here in verse 40, down through verse 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. As we continue in our study of the Gospel of Mark, we've seen Jesus heal a woman that had a really high fever. She was sick, maybe deathly ill, and Jesus raised her up from her sick bed. And now he touches this person and heals this person with leprosy. Now, I don't know about you, but I've joked before how sickness, germs, all that kind of stuff freaks me out a little bit. I don't like when I shake hands and find out someone had a virus or a fever, right? You don't like that either. There's always that person at work, too. Maybe you have this in your office where they're just going to be super tough and prove how devoted they are. And they've got a fever and they're going to come to work anyway. And it's like, you're not proving how tough you are. We don't want you here. Go home. So you got that. People that just kind of, they put their kids back in school way too early. You're supposed to wait like, what is it, 7 days after a fever, I think, before you can let them go back to school. But like an hour later, the Tylenol kicked in. It's gone down. It's only a few degrees too high. Send them on to school. And it kind of grosses us out. We know how contagious those germs can be. And I was thinking about this the other day. I encountered some poison ivy. I got poison ivy on my leg, and you know, oftentimes people think that after you've had the poison ivy, the oil's gone, but they think it's still contagious. And I think Cindy was like, I should go live in the yard or something. I mean, it's just, you know, poison ivy, that's really gross. Well, here was a guy with leprosy. Here was a guy with a very serious condition. He needed someone to show him love and compassion and touch him with tenderness and show some concern about him. And that's exactly what we're going to see Jesus did in this man's life. He was in a very desperate situation. And we're going to talk a little bit about what leprosy and all that is about. But as we look at the story, And we see this man who had such a deadly, awful disease like leprosy. I want us to see today that we're not in much better condition. We too need that same tender, compassionate, loving, and healing touch of grace in our lives, just like this man received so long ago. Because in our lives, we may not have leprosy on our skin, but we have leprosy of the heart. We have sin in our lives, and we need the forgiveness of God to be at work in our lives. I heard a story recently, silly little joke about a lady. She was standing in front of the mirror one night, getting ready for bed. Her husband was behind her lying in bed, and she was looking in her full-length mirror, and she's just really discouraged about how she looked. And she was talking out loud so her husband would hear, and she just looked in the mirror. She said, "I just look so old. So my face is all wrinkled. My skin's all so saggy." She said, "I've gotten where I'm as wide as this mirror, and I just look so bad, and I've got these fat legs and flabby arms." And she turns and she looks at her husband and says, "Is there anything you can tell me that's positive to make me feel better about myself?" He thought for a moment. He said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight. You got that going for you." You know, that guy needed some forgiveness after that statement. I doubt it was readily available. But what I want you to see today is that forgiveness is readily available to you. You have the opportunity to have the touch of Christ in your life, the forgiveness of God in your life, and it's readily available if you just ask for it. So I want you to find yourself today in the story to see that essentially you and this leper are one and the same, that his condition is very symbolic of your own. And like this man who went to Jesus for healing, you need to do the same. And there's several things I want us to discover today. Number one, to receive that healing, that healing touch of Jesus, you have to recognize your condition. If you're making some notes, write that down. Recognize your condition and put beside it verse 40. Let's look at that again. "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" So it says he has leprosy. This word itself would horrify people in that day and time. The leper carried about in his body corruption, contamination, and death. Those with leprosy, they were ostracized from society. They were made to live in leprosy camps outside of society where lepers were there. People feared they would contaminate their community, so they would force them out into these camps. It was a horrid place where barely staying alive and scratching out a living would be a luxury. You're barely surviving in these leprosy camps. Leviticus chapter 13, if you'll make a note of that, it describes the loneliness of this condition when it gives this instruction there, beginning in verse 45. Leviticus chapter 13, "The person who has a case of serious skin disease," so something like leprosy, "is to have his clothes torn and his hair hanging loose." So not only does your skin get ashy and awful and your digits are falling off and you're blistered and you're covered with this stench of death, you have to try to dress the part. You tear your clothes, disheveled hair, and then it says he must cover his mouth and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." So get the picture here. You look like death on your actual skin, your appearance. And then you need to make it look worse so there's no confusion. When someone sees you off at a distance and they don't notice the blisters and the ashy look about you and the death appearance about you, you need to make it look like that in your clothes and your hair. And as you approach, cover your mouth and scream out that you are unclean, that you are covered in leprosy, so everyone can clear out of the way, get out of your path, and they can avoid catching this leprosy from you. Says he will remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He must live alone in a place outside the camp. So to have this condition was a destitute and desperate situation. To be cleared a leper was a slow and grueling death sentence. No medicinal tools available at that time to cure the condition. Gradually, as you lost feeling in your limbs, you would bump into things, you wouldn't feel it. You would injure yourself, sores would develop. Your flesh would begin to abscess and rot. You might reach and grab something that's hot because you've lost feeling due to the leprosy. You wouldn't feel the pot or whatever it is burning your hand. You would run into a wall with your toes, and you know how you do that? And you stub your toe at home and you start screaming, you roll up in a ball and you cry like a Wait, that might just be me, but anyway, when you get hurt and you feel that, well, as a leper, you don't feel any of that. You have this numbness about you, so you injure yourself over and over again, and these rotten stumps replace your healthy limbs. And these people, according to Numbers chapter 12, are really like the walking dead, so to speak. They're just walking around in death. There was no hope for this person. They were to live alone outside the camp. So imagine the scene. You're at home. You're with your family. You're enjoying a meal around the table with your wife or your husband. The kids are crawling up in your lap. You're wrestling on the floor. You're enjoying life and family and all the good things that you would enjoy in life. And then you notice something's wrong with your skin. And then it gets worse and worse. They declare that you have leprosy, and you have to leave all of that behind. You leave your family. You leave your kids. You no longer get to gather with your religious group and worship. You have to drop your vocation, because who wants to have a meal at your restaurant when you've cooked the meal with leprosy? Who wants you repairing the plumbing at the house when you've got this disease and you're going to spread it all throughout their home, they think? So you're to be ostracized. No one wants anything to do with you. They are not to even touch anything you've touched, no less touch you. No one ever giving you a hug. No one shaking your hand and telling you good morning. You're hollering unclean, and the path clears out in front of you to the point it's been years perhaps since you've even bumped in accidentally to someone else. And as bad as that sounds to us, as horrible as it must have been to function with that type of disease and situation, what I want us to know today is that we have the exact same condition. Because what we discover in Scripture is that leprosy serves as a picture of sin. So when we read about this man who had this outward disease, this outward condition that was so horrible, the death, the decay, what Scripture is telling us is that we have the same condition in our hearts. The outward decay of this man is a picture of the inward decay of our own hearts. Because if we see ourselves with spiritual eyes today, we see that apart from the work of Christ, we would be decaying forms of walking death. Now imagine the scene. Jesus is there, and he's already been at Peter's mother-in-law's house, and he raised her up, and then he healed all the people who gathered at that front door that day. A whole town gathered there, it says. All these people were being healed and helped, and word was spreading everywhere. And this guy with leprosy hears about it and thinks, if I can get to Jesus, I might have hope. I might be healed, and perhaps I could go back to my family, and I could hug my wife again. I can go and be a part of my kids' ball practice. I could be a part of my regular life again. So this dead man approaches the crowd around Jesus. Luke describes him in his account as covered with leprosy. So it's a pretty severe case, and he starts making his way to the Lord, and people turn around, and they notice this guy, he's got leprosy, and you can imagine everybody panics, everybody runs and screams, and he might not be calling out that he has leprosy, but everyone else is alerting everyone else that that is the case. There's a leper among them. This man broke the religious traditions of that day. He broke the religious law because he knew that while he wasn't supposed to interact with the public, he wasn't supposed to touch anyone, he knew his only hope to get back to his normal life, his other life, the good life he once lived, is to get into the presence of Jesus Christ. He was the only one who could help him. And like this man today, you need to recognize your condition. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is the only person to offer help for the leprosy of your heart. Because your leprosy, your sin, your darkened heart because of sin, makes it unacceptable for you to approach God. You must live outside the camp of God's presence. You are unclean. But thank God for the cleansing that comes from Jesus. Jesus is our only hope. Because without Christ, our unclean state prevents us from getting to a clean, a holy God. We're separated from Him except for the love and the grace and the mercy found in Jesus Christ. But here's the problem. We have this question, the same question as the leper back then. Will he do it? Will he really forgive the sins you have committed? Will he really heal the leprosy of your heart? You know he's able. You've heard the stories of how it worked for other people. You know what power he possesses, but is he willing? That's the question that was being asked that day. If you are willing, Jesus, if you are willing, I can be healed. Most of us today gathered in this room have experienced God's forgiveness. We've been saved, we've accepted Christ, but there are still those sins we hold on to, those sins maybe we haven't confessed. And we ask the question, well, I could confess them, but I just don't know if God will forgive what I have done. I don't know if God will really give me grace because I've asked for this forgiveness over and over again. I tell you today, confess your condition. Bring to Him the leprosy of your heart. You've confessed it to yourself. You know what you have done. Maybe even others know what you have done. But you need to confess it to the Lord. You need to recognize your condition and confess it to God. Because then, number two, you will find compassion for your condition. Look at verse 41. It says, Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand. He touched the man. I am willing, he said. Now, let's pause for a moment and try to understand this. It says here, Jesus is angry. Some ancient manuscripts have the word compassion. Your translation in front of you may use that word. Which is it? Is he indignant or is he compassionate? Those are two very different words. How could it say he's indignant and in other translations he is compassionate about the situation? What's the answer here? Which one is it? I think it's both. I really do. I think it's both words in the situation. Jesus is angered by the condition of humanity. He's angered by the devastation of sin upon his creation, and it moves him to compassion, to be willing to touch this man's life. You know, today, there are some here who have a mistaken view of God. To you, you think, well, God's just angry at you all the time. That word is perfect, Marty. He's indignant. He looks at my sin and what I've done, and all I do is disappoint him. All I do is anger him. God can never forgive me. And maybe you grew up in a church where the preaching every single Sunday, every single message was hellfire and brimstone. You're terrible. God's mad at you. And there's nothing much you're going to be able to do about it. You've just made God angry. And you've struggled to accept God's promise of forgiveness. You've struggled to understand the concept of a loving God who wants to wipe away your sin. You can't fathom a gracious God who in compassion reaches out and touches you. Instead, it seems beyond your reach. Imagine this breathing corpse of a man, swallowed up by leprosy, prostrate on the ground at the feet of Jesus, and he says, if you are willing. You know, your heart, it cries out the same. Jesus, if you would only be willing to forgive all of these mistakes and failures, if you would only take away this heavy load of sin, and Jesus, filled with indignation, not toward you, but indignation over your condition, and with compassion toward you as a person, he says to you today, I am willing. You say, well, if you were only willing, and I've messed up so bad, and what I did when I was in high school or college or what I even did yesterday is so bad, and I can't even imagine acknowledging it before God, no less asking for forgiveness. God would never forgive me. Oh, Jesus, if you were only willing, and he responds, I am willing. And I don't want you to miss what happens next. Because Jesus responds in a remarkable way to prove his willingness. And sometimes we struggle with that. Jesus, there's no way you can forgive me. You can forgive that other person, that lady over there. You can forgive that thing they did. But what I did, I just carry around with so much guilt and so much discouragement in my heart and so much burden on my shoulders. There's no way you can forgive me. And Jesus says, I am willing. And you say, well, I know that's true. And I know Marty says it. And I read it in the Bible. But I just don't feel it. I don't think I can believe that you are willing. And to prove he is willing, look what Jesus did. He touched him. If you miss everything else I say today, don't miss that. He touched him. This man who had not been touched by anyone, not his family, not his kids, not his priest, not bumping anyone into someone in a crowd, no one, perhaps not just for days, but months and even years, is being touched by Jesus. If that is not a sign of God's love, I don't know what would be a sign. Because here's why that's so significant and so important. Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, who is clean, who is perfect, and therefore separate from the sinfulness of humanity, reaches across the chasm of our sin and touches the depravity of our souls. According to Mosaic law, this very act of Jesus reaching out and touching a person with leprosy would cause Jesus to incur his own defilement. Now, this is significant. Jesus ceremonially did not need to touch the man with leprosy, but in doing so, Jesus demonstrated his decision to take upon his flesh our sin that he might cleanse us from our sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, he who became sin for us, he who knew no sin, became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. In touching that man with leprosy, we see this beautiful illustration of Christ taking on our defilement, Christ taking upon himself the decay of our hearts. See, Jesus today touches the leprosy of your heart. That's how much God loves you. He touches the untouchable. He loves the unlovable. His heart breaks for the brokenhearted. And as you come today with all your brokenness, with all the feelings that you are unlovable and untouchable by God, he reaches out with his loving hand and compassion, and he touches the leprosy of your heart. And it shows today that if you're a person here who does not know Jesus Christ, if you haven't received him as your Lord and Savior, you've never been born again, this is a God who wants to know you. He wants to reach out and bring healing to your heart and save you. For so many who are gathered here who are saved and have accepted Christ, this proves he is the God who wants to know you better. You may struggle with your past. You may hate yourself for the things that you have done, but God has compassion. And he wants to touch your heart in spite of the leprosy that has left it decayed and spiritually dead. Listen carefully. There is more grace in God's heart than there is leprosy in your heart. There is more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. So don't mistake God as some angry judge far away and distant from you, who's always condemning you and thinking down on you, who's never willing to give you grace and forgiveness and restoration and a sweet fellowship with him. He is a loving God. Martin Luther was proclaiming the truth of Christ from the scripture in the midst of a very difficult time as the church was against the Reformation he was bringing. He stood before his congregation, and here's what he preached one time. Listen to this. Terrible, unforgiving. That's how I saw God. Luther says, punishing us in this life, committing us to purgatory after death, sentencing sinners to burn in hell for all eternity. But I was wrong. Those who see God as angry do not see him rightly, but look upon a curtain as if a dark storm cloud has been drawn across his face. If we truly believe that Christ is our Savior, then we have a God of love. And to see God in faith is to look upon his friendly heart. So when the devil throws your sin in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this, Luther says. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction in my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And where he is, there I shall be also. What powerful words for us today. That Jesus doesn't want us to feel condemned, but to know freedom from sin through his forgiving touch. And when you recognize your condition and you find compassion on your condition, then number three, you can experience the cleansing you need for your condition. The scriptures, it's interesting, never speak of healing leprosy. As you encounter leprosy in scripture, it always talks of cleansing it, because that's the issue. Leprosy is a picture, a symbol of our sin. It must be cleansed away. Notice the last part of verse 41 and there in verse 42. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Just like that, in a moment, it was gone. He turns to Jesus, he requests cleansing, and it's his. We've seen how that word immediately, the swiftness of the ministry of Jesus, is recorded by Mark over and over again. 42 times roughly in the Gospel of Mark, it talks about Jesus immediately did something, the swiftness of his work. There's no long and painful surgery, no courses of treatment, no therapy and special diets, no medicine to be taken. There was instant cleansing for this leper. This miracle of cleansing and healing brought instant cure for this one who was diseased. Same is true in our lives. If we want our sins canceled, the leprosy of our hearts cleansed away, there's nothing we have to do but turn to Christ. See, some are mistaken today. You think that to be a Christian, to have Christ in your life, means you need to work harder and do more and be more religious, come to church more often and not do the bad things anymore and earn your way to be pleasing to God. You're trying to cleanse your own leprosy. It just doesn't work like that. The only hope we have is the immediate cleansing that comes in Jesus Christ. And as we receive that cleansing, the sin is taken away. We are brought into right relationship with God, right standing, and sweet relationship. And we no longer have to carry around that feeling of guilt and shame for what happened in the past. The stuff we've repented of and received forgiveness for is gone. I love what it says in Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. When you confess to God, it's that simple. It's gone. Jesus forgives it and he forgets it. It's cleansed. It's washed away. It's gone. So stop carrying away around the guilt of the sins that have been washed away. Jesus has forgiven them, so forgive yourself. Have you been cleansed from your sin? If not, come to Jesus today. Now, I wish we could end the story right there. That would be a sweet way to end it. All would be well, but we're also in the rest of the story. So the last point I want us to see is the problem with our condition. Jesus sends him away at once with a strong warning. Look again at verses 43 through 45. He gives a strong warning, sends him away. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to find him from everywhere. Jesus didn't want his ministry to just be some ancient Benny Hinn crusade. He was there not just to heal people. That was a byproduct of his presence. His purpose there was to die on the cross to heal us from our sins, the real thing that we needed. So Jesus gives a stern warning to this guy. Originally, the language, it talks about snorting like a horse. I mean, it was like a very boisterous, pointed statement Jesus made to this guy. Don't go out and tell everyone what I've just done. It's like with indignation that we talked about earlier, he cast this guy out. And Jesus has this element of anger, this indignation. Why? Because he knew exactly what this guy was going to do. He knew this guy was going to disobey him. So the leper acted consistent with human nature. He was told not to go tell people, and he goes out and tells people. It's like a little kid. You tell them, don't do this, what do? They do that. Don't do this thing over here. Don't go there. Don't cross this line. Don't you dare leave the yard and step onto the sidewalk in front of the house. When you turn around, where's their foot? Right there on the sidewalk. They're by human nature, they're going to go beyond what you tell them to do. That's the problem we have with our sin nature. We are forgiven when we repent. We're born again as we are saved, but we're left with a sin nature. And we know that time and time again, we're going to drift right back into sin. We confess, we are cleansed, and then oftentimes it's not a day later, we're right back where we started. Let's be warned today. Two problems with our disobedience we see in this passage. First of all, our sin, it disturbs the heart of Jesus. Every time we sin is an affront to Jesus Christ. Every time we choose the devil's will over God's will, the Lord is disturbed. No doubt, Jesus is giving us a stern warning in his word. Stop sinning. Don't disrupt your relationship with God. Understand this problem with our condition. We're going to drift back if we're not cautious toward the sin of our past. But then I want you to see how our sin hinders the work of Jesus. We're so mistaken if we think we can do what we want to do and there's no consequence. This man probably thought he was doing Jesus a favor. Why? I'll just go out and tell everyone about what happened to me and everyone will admire Jesus. But as a result of his disobedience, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly because everyone was turning on him. Crowds were mobbing him, all the rest. And what we discover is that when we disobey God, we disrupt the work of God. No matter how small the sin is, it hinders kingdom work. We need to be warned about the effects of our sin today. When you sin, it might be that you turn someone away from the faith. When you sin, it might hurt someone else's view of God. When they observe your life as you call yourself a Christian, then you live contrary to what the Scriptures teach. And the life you claim to live, the end result might be harming the faith of others. See, every time we sin, there is a consequence. It's a hard pill to swallow because we think that, well, as that person does that thing and this other person commits that sin, there are consequences. We readily see and acknowledge the consequence of sin with other people. But when we sin, what do? Well, God understands. He's going to let me by. There won't be any consequences. It's not a big deal. We start justifying. We make it okay. There won't be any repercussions for what happened. No consequences for sin. But even when you think you're sliding by, even when you think you're getting away with sin, you are suffering its consequence. And that's what God warns us about sin in His Word. It's not because God's just judging and angry and against us and He just wants to take all the fun out of your life. It's a spiritual law in place that when you sin, you will reap destruction. It tells us this in Galatians. There's always a consequence to sin. Sin is devastating to you. It's even devastating to our church fellowship. It's devastating to the kingdom work of God. So note the problem of your sin. Recognize the danger in front of you that you just return to your leprosy, to the darkness of your heart, and guard yourself against that. All of us today need the touch of Jesus. Let Jesus touch that heart of yours that's been burdened under the weight of sin. Bring your broken and withered and diseased heart and find that Jesus is willing to make it new. Come to Jesus today and experience His compassion, His loving touch upon your life. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to You today and we look at this story about this man with leprosy, we see ourselves pictured here. The darkness, the leprosy, the disease of our heart that needs to be healed. It needs to be cleansed. So we turn to You today and we ask for help. We pray that You would forgive us for our sins, Father. We recognize today that Christ is the one who died for our sins. He reached out and touched us when we were dead in our sin and trespasses. He took our sin upon Himself and He died on the cross for us. We believe He has risen from the dead and He is Lord. And in light of what Christ has done for us, we know forgiveness is available. That if we confess our sins, Lord, You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come to You asking for help and forgiveness today. Cleanse us, Father. As we take this moment in prayer and think about each of our individual lives, today there's perhaps sin that's coming to mind that you need to bring to the Lord and ask for His cleansing touch. You need to ask God to wipe away your sins, to wash it all away and to restore you and make you healthy spiritually, to renew you and restore you once again. So right now, in the quietness of this moment, would you confess your sin to the Lord? Maybe today that you recognize that you need Christ to come and cleanse you, to heal you of all your disease, to restore you into right relationship with Him. If today you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope you will make a decision to receive Him into your life, to trust in His sacrifice, His death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, to believe that He is Lord, that He is the only hope you have, the only way of salvation. If today you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would love to talk with you about making that decision. There are others here who would love to talk with you. We're here to help you today. However God speaks, you respond to Him. Maybe you have questions. We're here to do our best to answer them. However we can serve you, let us do that today. Father, as we turn to You in this time, we pray You would speak to our hearts. God, let us understand the need we have to come before You and receive forgiveness and cleansing. We do that now, not just in prayer in this past moment, but in a continual state of prayer and coming before you, even as we sing in just a moment. Lord, minister to us. Let us leave today encouraged, cleansed, in right relationship with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing the song together. If you have a decision to make and you want to make it right now as people are singing, I would love to speak with you. I'll be right down front singing along with everyone else. Just make your way down. You may want to come and kneel at these steps and just make it your personal place with the Lord where you can take a definitive and public stand on what you've done in your life, the sins you've committed, or maybe you just want to reconnect with God in a special way. You come and you pray. You seek the Lord in this time. Get someone else to come and pray with you or pray over you. We sing as we reflect. Let's be careful to respond and commit ourselves more fully to the Lord. Let's sing together.